This morning, I'd like us to consider the events that we read together in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Obviously, a very well-known event, and perhaps is considered by us sometimes as, well, that's for the children, because we all learn it as children, don't we? The great event of David slaying the giant Goliath. And because it's so associated with us as children, we perhaps forget that actually this is the Word of God and that it is written for our learning. However old we are, this is always for our learning. So we should not consign it to a story of childhood. That is a great narrative and a great encouragement to us to face adversities in life and think that we can overcome them. As we often hear in sport, don't we, that it's a battle of David and Goliath and everybody is rooting for the underdog, that hopefully they can win. But no, this is the Word of God and it has serious lessons to teach us. And we must consider it carefully and think, well, what is the purpose of this passage? Is it just to give us that warm feeling of looking to overcome difficulties? Or is there something more to be learned? What I'd like to try and do in our time together is consider the different approaches of Saul and of David to this event and to Goliath. King Saul was a confident man. He had been made king of the nation. It says in scripture that he stood head and shoulders above all in Israel. I am guessing that therefore he was at least 6'6". He was a tall man. And as a result, he learned it as being king. He started to become very proud once he became king. He learned how to use that height to his advantage and to establish his authority. He was a confident man. And he had some form of belief in God. He looked to God as he approached the battles with Philistines. And we read in chapter 14 that he called upon the Lord and that the Israel defeated the Philistines in battle. And so Saul had an approach for dealing with the enemies of Israel. And now we come to this occasion when, again, the Philistines come up to do battle with the Israelites. And Saul takes his army and comes to meet the Philistines. And there they are arrayed, one on one side of the valley, the other on the other. And in the old traditional way, the armies lined up, ready to face each other in battle. And Saul must have thought, I've done this before, I know exactly what I need to do, and we will win again. But the Philistines changed their strategy, and they did something that threw Israel into a perplexity. And they sent forward their champion, this man Goliath, a giant of a man. We read in the Authorized Version that he was 6 cubits and a span. If you, depending on how tall, how long a cubit you think is, it works out to be about, it's over 9 foot. It's probably over 9.5 feet. He is a giant of a man. It's not recognized by the Guinness World Book of Records, because that is a modern invention of man. But scripture tells us that Goliath was well over 9 foot And he wasn't just lanky. He was broad. He was built with bulk. He carried his 9 foot, excess of 9 foot. He carried it completely. He was a man in proportion to his height. He was massive. And it is no wonder that the camp of Israel feared him. No one would go out. If Saul was the tallest in Israel, at, as we guess, 6 foot 6 or whatever, then no wonder nobody would go out to face this giant of a man, this Goliath. And Goliath stood there and defied the armies of Israel for 40 days, over a month, nearly 6 weeks. He stood there day after day, morning and evening, defying them to send forth their champion. Saul should have gone out to fight Goliath. Saul should have been the champion of Israel. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He had proved himself in battle, and he was the king. He was to lead by example. But he failed his people. He let them down because he was afraid, because he didn't know what to do. He thought, if I go to fight Goliath in my armor, I will die. And my people Israel, they will be captured by the Philistines. I cannot go up. How are we to solve this problem? How are we to get out of this difficulty? What is to be done? And we do not read in the passage at any point that Saul prayed to the Lord, that he sought his face. And yet Saul, if you would ask Saul, do you believe in God? Do you believe that you are a child of God? He would have said yes. And yet there is no mention of him anywhere here praying to the God of Israel to deliver them and to give him wisdom to know what to do. Nothing. And I wonder if that is like us in so many ways. If someone says to us, are you a Christian? Are you someone who follows the Lord Jesus? We will say, yes. I believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross to save sinners. I believe those things. But do we prove him in our day-to-day living? Do we pray to him? When life's troubles come upon us, when the Goliaths of life come against us, how do we respond? If we lose our job, how do we respond? If we're struck down by some debilitating illness, what do we do? If a loved one or a close friend is taken by death, how do we respond? Where do we go to? What is our comfort? What is our strength? What is our solace in all these great difficulties in life? Because they will come, or they have already come, and they will come upon everyone. How do we respond to them? How do we react? Maybe we say, well, I'm not like others. I do not turn to drugs. I do not turn to drink. And that is good. For those things cannot give you any real comfort. They just blot out the pain and the sorrow. But there is no relief or comfort in those things. For when these big Goliaths in life come upon us and cause us such grief and heartache. So how do we respond? Do we respond like Saul? Do we not pray? Do we wring our hands and think, how do I get out of this problem? How do I solve this trouble? You see, Saul had been trusting to his army, to his armor, to his weapons, all these things he could see. And they had delivered him in the past when he had been in battle. But now they couldn't deliver him. He was too scared. Maybe we look to our friends, or maybe our intelligence, maybe our contacts, maybe our money, or whatever status we have or influence we have. We may look to all sorts of manner of things to deliver us from our difficulties. We may go to private health care to help deliver us from our illness, and that's not a wrong thing to do. But is it what we're trusting in? Is it that we're thinking that's how I'll solve this problem? Maybe we think that I will try and fill my head with my career and my job, and I will remove all the pain and sorrow I've experienced by filling my time with my work and doing a good job for others. Maybe we try to do those things. But at no point do we think, I will take this to the Lord in prayer. I will ask him to deliver me from these difficulties. What are we trusting in? Ourselves, like Saul was? Saul had seemed to be a believer, but when he was confronted with this bold unbeliever, he showed his true colors. He showed that he did not have a trust in God. He had not proved God in his life, in answering his prayers. He did not stand firm in the Lord God. He had always tried to fix his own problems. And so he hadn't learned to go to God in prayer for deliverance, to cry out to him for salvation, to ask him for wisdom and strength and deliverance from these difficulties. And so when Goliath stood there and defied the armies of Israel, when he effectively called upon Saul to come up and fight with him, Saul was humbled. And he could not solve this problem, and he had nowhere to turn. And even in his distress, he still did not cry out to the Lord. Don't be like that, friends. Don't think, what can I do? Don't not call upon the Lord. Go to God in prayer. Lay all before him. Confess to him your sin, that you are like Saul, trusting in yourself, maybe full of pride as Saul was, maybe not willing to acknowledge that you need the Lord Jesus to be your savior from sin. Saul was not willing to acknowledge that he must have God save him. And Saul was not alone. No one in Israel stepped forward. David's brothers were there. David's brothers were brought up by a godly man, Jesse, yet they seem to have had no knowledge of God themselves either. And none of them stepped forward. No one in Israel went out to meet this Goliath. Are we trusting in ourselves, or do we want to trust in the Lord Jesus? And then this youth, David, comes upon the scene. He comes to the camp. We know he's a youth. He is described as being ruddy and a fair countenance. That complexion of face, which is there in the older teenager, or the young 20, those in their young 20s. My guess is, and it is purely a guess, that David was no more than 20 because he was not yet in the army. He was only there on an errand. He still looked after the family sheep, the youngest of 8 brothers. He was used to being looked down upon by his older brothers. You can imagine, as the youngest of eight, how much he had to learn to stand up for himself. But also he had proved the Lord, had he not? As he tells Saul, I have already proved the Lord out there in the fields, defending the sheep. He had killed a lion and a bear. He knew what danger was. And I am sure that he had prayed to the Lord for deliverance. He had proved the Lord in his life. And he had known many deliverances. And so David's, reaction to Goliath, his shock that this Philistine, this uncircumcised unbeliever, should dare to insult the armies of the living God. He is shocked that such a thing should happen. And perhaps, although he does not say it, perhaps he is even more shocked to consider that none of the Israelites around him, none of the armies around him, are responding or reacting to this Philistine. And David keeps saying to people, well, what would be done? What will be done here? Let's go and face this man. Someone should go and stand. I am willing to do it. He wasn't even in the army. And some people, like his oldest brother Eliab, would say, you are full of pride. You are full of arrogance. You think you can do all these things. Don't be such an arrogant young man. But his confidence, his statements weren't driven by arrogance, thinking that he had the strength in himself. It was a rather driven from a humble belief in the Lord his God. He had known that his God had heard his prayers in the past and that he would hear them now. Do we come to God in prayer like that? Or are we wrestling with our problems and our difficulties on our own? Do we see our sin? Do we see that dreadful Goliath of sin in our lives, that greatest sin which affects us and troubles us greatly, whatever it may be, whether it's pride or deceit, or maybe it's uncleanness, or it's a foul temper, whatever it might be, this sin dominates our lives. It is our Goliath. Do we take it to the Lord Jesus and ask him to forgive us, to make us clean? Do we take it to him in prayer? Or do we think that we can overcome it ourselves? Do we think that if we strive long enough and hard enough, that we will master this? And yet we find ourselves month after month, year after year, becoming worse and worse, more proud, more deceitful, more unclean, more foul-tempered. We cannot seem to destroy it. And is that because we have not found the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that we are not trusting him to take away our sin, that we are thinking that we must bring something to God, and that therefore we must try and reform our lives? We cannot do those things. As the hymn we've just sung tells us, we must bring ourselves to Christ as we are, that we venture on him and him only, that we trust him as our Savior. No one else, not ourselves even. So David, the words of David have now come to Saul, and Saul calls for him. And Saul, in his foolishness, still thinks that Goliath must be defeated by using the techniques and the tools that he has at his disposal that are available to him immediately. And he starts to put his armor on David. Now, we don't know how tall David is. I would adventure a guess at 6 foot. I have no idea. He might have been 5 foot 8. But Saul's armor is too bulky for him. It is too big for him. And he cannot maneuver in it. He cannot move in it. And David recognizes straight away that he will fail with this armor. But you see, this is what the world does to us. It says, listen to this. Listen to this advice. Do this. Do that. And this world tells us, take a little drink. It will be good for you. Indulge your pleasures. Do what you like. It'll be fine. Trust yourself to do the best you can and try to live a reasonable life. Don't harm anyone. And in the end, everything will be fine. And how often do we hear when people die, irrespective of how they have lived, everybody talks about them being in heaven. Where did that come from? What foolishness is that? And yet that is how people talk. And that's as if the world is advising us. Now, are we going to be like David and realize that that is not the answer? Are we going to be like David and realize it's no point in listening to this advice? Saul hasn't been prepared to go and fight. Why would I listen to the foolishness of this world? What does God say? I must read his word. I must look into his word. What does God tell me to be saved? How can I be saved from my sin? How can I come before the holy, perfect God and be pardoned and be made clean? And there is only the one way, isn't there? It is only because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross, when he took upon himself the punishment of sin for all those sinners that would trust him. It is only as he has borne that agony and that wrath of God that any of us can be made clean in front of God, in the sight of God. That any of us can be have our sins forgiven and be washed clean and be made perfect in his holy sight. Now, David put aside Saul's weapons and what he was trusting in. David knew what he needed to do was look to the Lord, trust in the Lord. David knew what weapons he would use. He knew, if I can put it this way, he knew what he was good at. He knew that as a shepherd, he knew how to use his sling and stones. And that would be his weapon. And so as he comes before Goliath, Goliath is full of disdain for this youth, for this child that comes before him. He hasn't even got armor on. What kind of champion is this who is not prepared to even try and do battle with him? Goliath thought, this will be easy if you are the supposed champion of Israel. And Goliath shows us the self-confidence of this world. But he is being foolish because he did not know the God that David trusted in. And David tells him that he trusted in the Lord and that the battle was the Lord's and the Lord would deliver him. And that the Lord would deliver Goliath into his hands. And so it proved as David ran. And as he was running, This is how skillful the young man was. As he was running, he puts his hand in the bag, he puts the stone in the sling, he slings that stone. It is like a bullet from a revolver, and it goes straight into the head of Goliath. And he has no chance. Down the giant falls. David trusted the Lord, and God gave him the victory. Do we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior? We all have one last great Goliath. We may have many more in our lives yet, depending on how old we are and what God has in his sovereign providence planned for all of us. But there is one last Goliath that we must all face, that of death. How will we face it? Will we be trusting in the Lord Jesus? Do we think that we can ignore it? Do we think that if we just continue in our self-indulgence, in our sin, that somehow it won't happen to us? Are we just pretending that life is fine and that death is far, far away and will never come? It will face all of us one day. How will we face that Goliath? We have to be trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We have to be looking to him to deliver us from our sin. We need to be looking to the Lord Jesus to be our only Savior, the only Savior from sin. We have to be trusting that his offering on Calvary is the only way to be made clean in the sight of God, that his perfections and righteousness are the only way to enter heaven. Is that, are we ready to believe those things? Do we believe those things like David did? Or are we still believing that there is something we can give, like Saul was? If I just give David my armor, that will help him. Is that how we come to death, to God, to thinking, if I can just do something, that will help me get into heaven? There is nothing we can do, friends. We have to be like David and trust to the Lord and shoot those prayers to him. And we ask the Lord God to deliver us from this last Goliath of death. And we ask the Lord God to give us life, eternal life, that it can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like Saul and trust to yourself and what you feel are your strengths and abilities. Be like David. Trust in the Lord. Look to him to be your Savior and your deliverer from sin and from all of life's great difficulties and trials. Always take them to the Lord in prayer. Look to him to deliver you and provide for you, because he will save if you are sincere. He will deliver you from your sin. He will forgive you and grant you eternal life if you truly repent, if you truly turn from your sin and seek after him. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the events of David and Goliath. It helps us and shows us how to trust thee completely. So help us to do, O Lord, and not fear this world and all its dangers and all its difficulties. Let us not look to ourselves, but let us look to Christ as the only one who can save us from our sin. Lord, have mercy upon us and deliver us, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these blessings. Amen.